Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, little children, dogs and cats, welcome back to another Rising Rendition of what we like to call here the Brethren Podcast. And when I say we, in a rare feat, I have everyone here with me. I have Dr. Ajama Loving, PhD, CFP, Mr. Deshaun Wells, and Ms. Alicia Brandon of HBCU Pets. HBCUPets.com, go get you some. But we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to waste any time. I will cheers to a wonderful conversation and gems being dropped and crumbs being picked up by those who need them. And we're going to hop into the conversation that I wanted to get through and get out, which was the power of collaboration and the necessity of collaboration in life in general and obviously in business. And this is kind of a follow through from DJ, you and I's conversation about Cape Town and just kind of a common theme that we always talk amongst ourselves. But to throw the caveats into the conversation, I found this piece off of the Together platform that says the four types of collaboration styles. There's communication-oriented collaboration, task-oriented collaboration, network-oriented collaboration, and community-oriented collaboration. And communication-oriented collaboration is the style that emphasizes effective communication among team members and involves open sharing of ideas, opinions, and information. Task-oriented collaboration is the collaboration that revolves around achieving specific tasks, goals, or projects. Network-oriented collaboration emphasizes building and leveraging professional relationships within and outside the organization. And community-oriented collaboration focuses on creating a sense of community and shared purpose within the workplace. So I wanted to preface the conversation with that, just to let everybody know, you know, when we talk collaboration, there are, I guess, categories that we can put it into. But ultimately, I wanted to cover like the power of collaboration and why it is actually necessary, because, you know, there is a theme that constantly goes around of self-made and, you know, I want to thank me, and there's nothing wrong with thanking yourself. But when you're 100% honest with yourself and others, you know that nothing really and truly happens without collaboration. Even if we break it down to a simple, transactional deal, even though it's transactional, there is collaboration between the seller and the buyer. So I just wanted to preface it and inject that into it, but I'll start with you, DJ. And the question that I have for you to frame the conversation is, why do we have to collaborate? Why is it a necessity? Like, it's not even a want. Why is it a need for us to collaborate?
All right. So I guess I can take it from a couple of different angles. The first angle would be, when I think about collaboration, to me, it's like the Olympics of life. That is the highest form of human communication, regardless of whether that's a personal relationship or business relationship. Collaboration has to happen, at least in my opinion. And when I say the Olympics of life, think about how those Olympic rings overlap with each other. So you just talked about the four types of collaboration that have been highlighted or what have you. You may not think that you're doing those things at all times, but there's some overlap in what those four categories look like. Some people may have an overweight to one specific area or another, but when they start to engage with others, those people might think left side or right side of the brain, and then they provide balance to that. Ultimately, what collaboration creates is what I like to call partnerships. And those partnerships then expound beyond what you may have originally thought. So collaboration gives birth and gives rise to more things: idea generation, co-collaboration, creation, expansive networks. So it's not just the notion that you're engaging with one person. Collaboration means that you're willing to share your networks with others. They're willing to share their networks with you. And even to go a step further, if you look at what influencers are doing and what creatives are doing now, they're sharing their platforms with each other to broaden their reach, to broaden their horizons, to push products, to push initiatives, to push messaging. So as it relates to collaboration, I think that that's one of the areas that we have struggled with from a communal perspective, because we have decided that we want to go it alone for so long that I think we're just starting to catch up as it relates to leveraging each other. And you can put a different lens on it and call it by a different name, but at the end of the day, collaboration is power, and we have identified power as something specific. Power is the ability to define phenomenon and make it act in a designed manner. Collaboration is a way in which you can expand your power and make sure that things are acting in a more designed manner. And so for me, those are limited reasons, but I think that collaboration has immeasurable benefits, but those are the ones that quickly come to mind off the top of my head.
Most definitely. I'm not sure if Alicia is available, but you bring up a point that I just recently watched Rustin on Netflix, which was kind of a biopic about Bayard Rustin, and it really focused on and kind of sped through, but the main focus of the movie was him and others organizing the March on Washington, where Martin Luther King made to I Have a Dream speech. But it was a whole lot of collaboration, and a lot of it happened between people that didn't really see eye to eye, but it was also different organizations that had maybe one goal in common, where they all was like, okay, this will benefit us. Go ahead, D.
So let me add a caveat to that, because doing shit for the sake of just doing shit does nothing. Coordinated, let me just put that word in front of collaboration. Coordinated collaboration leads to execution. And ultimately, that's where you have to get to, because you can have great conversation and you can feel good about things that come with no action. So coordinated collaboration leads to better execution. And I think I watched the same movie you watched, and I think that is the story of that movie. That was coordinated collaboration. We don't have to agree philosophically on everything, but if we all agree where we're going, let's coordinate and collaborate, and the execution and the impact will be far greater than it would if we were to go it alone.
I also want to add on the top of that, because I want to imply and assume that coordinated also means aligned, but sometimes it doesn't. Because just because we're coordinated, there's a coordinated effort. Everybody ain't aligned on everything. So that was one of those things where it was coordinated and aligned. So I wanted to throw that on there. But Alicia, if you are available, if not, I'll throw it to Doc. I think she
What you got?
Oh, okay. So yeah, we with coordination and collaboration, because DJ throwed in the word and kind of foreshadowed, in terms of collaborating, but the necessity of collaboration. But he brought up partnerships and how collaborations are incubators, or kind of, if you will, are starters for partnerships. But as a small business owner and an entrepreneur, just talk a little bit about the necessity for collaboration and breeding and looking more into collaborations to create partnerships.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so the underpinning to co collaboration is teamwork, and teamwork makes the dream work. I know y'all have heard that before. Especially in, I mean, in life in general, but especially in entrepreneurship, being a small business owner, like I won't say I can't. It's very hard to do things on my own. And I don't believe in recreating a wheel. So if it's somebody that's come before me, that's done something that I'm trying to do, why not ask the question? You know, for example, AJ, you run an apparel business as well. You've given me a lot of gems. Hey, check this out for merchandise. Check this thing out for automation, so on and so forth. That way, I don't have to spend hours of my time spinning my wheels unnecessarily to find out the things that you've already done, right? But that comes with a level of vulnerability as well, to be able to ask for help, to say, hey, I need help with X, Y, and Z. Or have you ever done this? Right? Because 9 times out of 10, there's somebody in your network, as DJ said, that has those skills or that experience that you can leverage.
Most definitely. And you know that also alludes to past episodes we did. I think I know first season was Power Circles. Power Circles that speaks to that. But that thread specifically lends itself to the communication-oriented collaboration, which is open sharing of ideas, opinions, and information. Like that, I think is I like the list where I found it. That's like it's number one. I don't think that it's ranked in any by any means. But honestly, our common thread has always and consistently been the power of communication, proper communication, being able to receive and give communication. And I think communication-oriented collaboration truly is one of, it's the number one, in my personal opinion, because it's the open sharing and the way that we interact as a group, and even our, extended circles and power circles and networks, is we all openly share ideas, opinions, and information. I know that if I want to speak, talk finance, anything, I've got two very knowledgeable wells of information, no pun intended, where I could go to and I could get from that, and vice versa. If I have event planning, I forgot what we created your title is, Alicia. It was like
Chief
just
Communications Officer,
Chief
Chief
Communicate,
Connections
Chief
Officer,
Connect. There we
connections.
go. Chief Connections Officer, where it's like your network is vast to where, like you said, if you want to pull something off, you don't have to have any real wherewithal of it. It's because your network is so vast that you can effectively pull the people together, to collaborate and create this concerted effort to get things done. But Doc, I want to come to you and just get your opinion on it, because I know I definitely consider you one of the people that you are very effective at communication, especially in your 9 to 5, so to speak. Like that is, you kind of get paid to be an effective communicator. But I just want to go ahead and bring you into the conversation to get your opinions on it.
Well, I think collaboration is extremely important. It's a superpower in a way, right? I think oftentimes we'll have a great idea, right? And this is very common among men. And we hold our idea close and we start to try to cultivate it on our own, right? And very quickly, especially if your idea is a big one, you recognize that you don't have all of the human capital, all the knowledge, all of the components, all of the network to actually make it happen, right? And a lot of times that's where an idea dies. That's where an opportunity dies, because you recognize that it's not within your abilities by themselves to get this done or to do so easily, and then people walk away. What happens with collaboration is you recognize the fact that there is knowledge available that is not within your head, but is accessible to you through others, right? And that knowledge, that experience, sometimes that sweat of brow work that the individual can, to DJ's point, partner with you to bring to bear, those elements are very powerful tools and resources to help get you to where it is that you're trying to go. The other thing that you can get from collaboration, and specifically that communication-based collaboration, is better ideas, right? I think that when one person comes up with an idea, you have one perspective. You can really only offer that, right? When you have multiple perspectives, now you have the opportunity for your idea to become more multifaceted, potentially bigger, more hands on deck to actually bring it to fruition, right? A larger network to expose it to. All of these elements are more, more, more. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have some things that are potentially worrisome that can come out of collaboration, right? And we've talked about that in previous episodes. People who don't have the skill set or the commitment that's necessary to get the job done, right? That's a bad thing that can happen from collaboration. A person who is not well-meaning is trying to cheat everybody else, or you specifically, out of either work or money or all of those things, right? Collaboration is not without risk, but you have to weigh the risks on either side of a decision that you make. And the value and payoff that can come from collaboration, from a better idea, a bigger idea that can be more properly funded, all of those things lead to or potentially lead to much better outcomes. But they require you to do some of the other things that we've talked about, like building a circle, building a power circle, being strategic about your overall approach in ways that sometimes are uncomfortable for people, right? I think it's uncomfortable for people in some ways because when you have an idea that's all your own and you're starting to do your own things to cultivate it, if you fail, the failure is all yours. And it's not known in many cases, right? Once you open up and start sharing with somebody else, now you have this exposure where your failure can become public, right? At least to that one other person that you shared it with. But what a lot of people fail to recognize is even though your potential failure is public, right? What else is now public in some ways is the knowledge of the resources that you need. What's now public is, hey, we do have some things that other people, they can see where they might be able to help you out. So there's so many different ways in which getting out of your own head and getting out of your own solo space. And this is hard for me. Like, I'm gonna be honest, you know, you can preach, but when you point the finger out, you know, you still have multiple fingers pointing back at you. I'm a person who struggles with this, right? When something gets hard, I tend to buckle down on my own and try to figure it out. And it can lead to frustration, can lead to feelings of isolation, especially the larger that the opportunity that you're chasing is and the more difficult it is to do. And a lot of times you can exacerbate failure or increase the chances of you failing because you've tried to do too much all alone, right? And so the key is to, as we've talked about before, get the right people involved, but recognize that if your vision can be done with just you and nobody else, it's probably smaller than it ought to be.
Let me use another C word back at you, Doc.
Triple C's, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and it's multiple, right? So the first one is you have to be willing to be challenged, right? And I think part of keeping things to yourself is two C's. Either you don't want to be challenged or maybe you struggle when people challenge you. But the other big one is control. It's hard to see control over something that you feel like you birthed, especially like your ideas. I am of the opinion that ideas don't belong to you. Ideas are like energy. They're meant to be that you got to keep it moving. You need to make sure that they remain kinetic. And I have seen things that I have decided to allow to become potential energy and not allow it or not cultivating and make it remain kinetic. And then I see someone else do that same thing, but they put the time, effort, energy in it. They were not controlling over that idea. They were not afraid to be challenged on it. And then what happened because of that is all the processes that you just named, they ended up running into the right people. They did it at the right time. They found the right structure. They failed publicly and privately, but at least everyone knows that they're pushing and advancing the effort forward. Sometimes you don't have to get it correct. Another C, you just need to get it started. You need to be continuous in your efforts to pursue excellence or greatness and not worry about getting it perfect on the onset. And I think that's not something that you struggle with. That's a systemic like ecosystem that people like us and maybe just this generation and prior generations exist in when you are creative. Because as Erykah Badu said, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. And so, but then when you decide to share it with the world, we now live in an age where social media can take off on you. You know, friends may take off on you. They may say, Dr. Loving, Alicia, AJ, man, you guys have great jobs. Like, why are you doing this? It's a creative outlet, and it's your way of contributing to the world. And if you put it in a lens like that, I think it lends yourself to be a little bit more vulnerable to sharing your idea, because you could be robbing the world of something great, not just the immediate circle of people around you, like literally the world, because you don't know who's going to attach themselves to the idea and what resources they have, or better yet, how many people have you shared something with and you realize that, oh my God, I was thinking about the same thing, or I was thinking something similar, or I felt like that was a need too. Now you may have the kinetic energy that you need that fuels you to keep going, as opposed to doing it on your own. And when you hit those roadblocks, you stop. So, you know, again, like connectivity is another piece of why collaboration is important, because it feeds you that energy, it recharges you, and it helps you continue going in spaces and times that you might not. I know one of our co-hosts is currently at the gym right now, right? I don't know what kind of accountability partner that co-host might have, but to say, hey, I'm going to still jump on to handle my business. But there you go. See, getting in here right there. What's up, bro?
And hey, what up?
Yes. See, that's collaboration. We going to get this work, and we going to get it. Yeah, handle your business, but we're going to get this work. And that's what it's about. And AJ, like, there's no greater example than what you just saw right there.
I'm gonna take it a step further and pick up where Doc also put it down about where you struggle. Me personally, where I struggle is I want to build the foundation and then bring others in so that they believe in my work ethic, so to speak, where it's like, okay, you're not just bringing me this raw idea and you just want us to do the work. I'm like, you know what? I built the frame and the foundation, helped me build a house. You know, and I struggle with that because a lot of things don't come to fruition, tangible fruition, because I am unable to devote the time or the resources or whatever to get that foundation and the frame up myself. And I think that's what brings me to wanting to put network-oriented collaboration as the second most important, because obviously the communication-oriented collaboration, that's where everything is built. We always say that communication is a true foundation, but the network-oriented collaboration, which emphasizes building and leveraging professional relationships within and outside the organization, also involves connecting with individuals across different departments, teams, and even external partners. And the goal is to tap into diverse expertise, gather varied perspectives, and facilitate knowledge sharing. That's damn near verbatim what Doc said. Like, that is why you really tap into your power circles. This is where your partnerships that have already been formed come into place, where it's, okay, how can you really acknowledge, not even just what you were saying, Doc, about, you know, you don't want to share it with anybody because of whatever. But we have been a part of situations where if you do have those fears, there's a legal way to do things. There's such thing as a non-disclosure agreement, to where, you know, if you do have an idea that you feel that you're just so passionate about, but you want to collaborate and partner with people, there are channels and ways that you can do this. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about this collaboration that we call the Bridger Podcast, to where we are collaborating to do exactly what I'm deeming as the second most important collaboration. We're facilitating knowledge sharing. All of us has our individual knowledge about things. We've shared it across with each other and amongst this. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm positive, and I know the people that I associate with, we've shared that outside of, you know, this circle here. And hopefully those people have shared it. And I think this is one of those things and one of those platforms to where network-oriented collaboration is, you know, obviously with communication being the base, we are communicating with people. And, you know, me being what I consider like the moderator, what is it, mediator, moderator? Moderator. There we go.
There you go.
I'm helping knowledge share. I'm just tapping into y'all like, hey, share this. And y'all are willfully collaborating and participating in this thing. And it's not hard. I think that's ultimately been the goal, is just showing people that collaborating is not hard. The hardest part for us is being all together and schedules lining up. Besides that, we could do this literally, consistently, nonstop, if schedules and life weren't always happening. And I think that, like, to your point, Doc, about also being scared of collaborating, people may discount collaborating because they just don't think, or, you know, they don't think that, you know, anybody has the time, or they don't think that it's not good enough to collaborate on. Or, and maybe in the case of what Deshaun said, like, if you can't collaborate with nobody else, if it's not big enough to collaborate on, maybe it's not even big enough. And now you should go back and figure out, okay, let me grow this into something that I need somebody else into. Because like you said, Doc, if I'm only having a single perspective, then it's very limited. It's severely limited from jump. So let me grow and cultivate and nurture this to something that I have to bring somebody else in on. And but then I also think that takes a lot of communication with self to understand where you need that collaboration. And I'll throw it to anybody who wants to pick that point up without putting down of understanding that you need collaboration, where, well, it's like, okay,
AJ, I know I'm gonna have to hop soon, so I'll follow up quickly, then I'll go ahead and alley-oop to Doc. One of the biggest reasons, at least in my estimation, why collaboration becomes so important: you never want a single point of failure, right? A single point of failure literally can kill an idea, right? Or momentum. So if you're a highly motivated individual, even if you're the most motivated individual, there comes a day and time where you need a pick-me-up too. So Doc, you get up and you do your workouts every day, consistently do them. If you decide not to go, but you know I'm going to be at the gym at 6:45, that may be the catalyst for you to show up, even if you don't feel like it. So again, a single point of failure, when you are independently or the sole proprietor of an idea, you can still own the intellectual property, but you can share in the process of bringing that to fruition, because a single point of failure has been the detriment to so many things that the world would benefit from. So with that, I'll just toss it to you, bro.
Real quick, Doc, because DJ just, you know, there's a collaboration that's not on this list. It can be put into this category, but I think even when we're talking about a single point of view or a single perspective, emotional collaboration is a thing. I don't know if it's a thing, but the phrase popped in my head where I'm like, that's a thing. To where you need people on your collaborative efforts, to be a part of your collaborative efforts, to just be there for emotional reasons, to where you are not becoming too emotional, to where you can't, you know, see that you need to collaborate and partner with people externally, tangibly, and even to collaborate emotionally in terms of, okay, this idea, this project or whatever it is, you know, draining emotionally. So I need someone else to infuse the correct emotions to keep it going so that it doesn't die. I just wanted to throw that in there, but go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, no. And you know what? It makes sense. What happens when you have everything all to yourself is you inherently end up with something that's going to be a little bit smaller, right? And so bringing in other people to make it bigger is a great thing. But here's the deal. I think a lot of us already start with an idea that's big enough. And then we realize, like, oh, when you start to get to the detail-oriented process by which you plan on bringing this thing to fruition, I can't do all this. So then you start to think, well, how can I expand and get some other folks who can be a part of it? Right. And that's where people start to get worried and they're scared, because there is the vulnerability in telling a person that you need someone. And then there's a vulnerability in sharing what you perceive to be valuable which is your ideas or your progression towards a business. And this is why it's important to be cultivating all the time, cultivating relationships, not just with folks that you don't know or who have some specialized skill set, but from within your own people and being on top of what it is that they can do and what they can bring to the table. And here's a for instance, right? We talk all the time. AJ shouts out all of the work that we do, but it never occurred to me until just now that, hey, Alicia may know people who could get me speaking gigs as an event planner, because event planners plan a lot of the types of events that I speak at. And so I, you know, recently had a lot of my schedule open up for something like that, but I have been looking at Alicia's work and thinking about podcasting and thinking about HBCU pets and how I don't have a puppy, but I have not been thinking about what it is that she can actually do or could have actually done, because I hadn't really talked about it. You know, I talked to Destry and I've talked to him about some of the things that happen, but when bad things happen, when difficulties happen, when your schedule opens up, that's when collaboration is really important, just on a general level, collaborating at life, right? Because the special project may present itself at some point that's really fitting into it, but you don't even know where a person might potentially be able to plug into your life. So you sounded like you're about to go in, Alicia. So.
No, I'm just going to co-sign. I mean, that's definitely true. And yeah, we can collaborate on some speaker stuff, especially when I get re-employed.
You know what? Even if you're not, it's like, you know, people, you certainly know more people than I know. And so that's the thing. It's like, you don't even think about what you know till you start opening up and people start sharing. And that sharing is where you get the opportunity to learn about resources that you didn't even know about. And that you could go, it's like going shopping in your own closet, right? You ain't even know you had this, right? You mess around about something else. You've been had one already.
Exactly.
Type deal,
yep.
Right?
Pull it out the back of the closet.
Hey, stop talking to me, because I definitely opened the box of shoes. Like, what are these? And opened them all. Like, hey.
I want to get ready to go buy some more.
Forgot I bought
brand new.
Brand new, never been worn.
And if that ain't life, I don't know what is, right? We sit around searching for stuff that the good Lord done already gave us. And that happens a lot, right? We look past what we have to what we think we need, not recognizing what we need is right there in what we got.
And Alicia definitely brought it up earlier in terms of like the vulnerability. Like you said, we have to share to where, you know, the conversations have to be had to where it's like, okay, well, you know, what you working on? What, you know, vulnerable moment. This is what I'm working on. And then somebody in the room says, oh, you know, I do that. Alicia can be in the room and saying, you know, I'm working on building my brand, HBCU Pets. We're a pet apparel company. And somebody's like, well, it just so happens that I got a bulk of baby onesies that fit Chihuahuas perfectly that I do not even want anymore. And you come up on, you know, hundreds of dollars of free inventory. It's just like you don't even know where that collaboration will come from, to where you now opened up a door, and it's like, you know, even, you know, somebody can give you something tangibly, or, you know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, I've got a partner here that does something that you're looking for, or. Yep. You know, it's like Doc said, where you have the conversations and you facilitating collaboration, I think, is one of those hard things to do, but it has a lot to do with our communication, our vulnerability as individuals outside of even business. You know, a lot of people don't want to or are afraid to ask for help because they don't want to appear needy. You don't want to ask for help because you don't want to appear like a user, because the person that you're asking for help has been used in the past. There are so many factors that come into play. A lot of it has to do with healing. Honestly, has a lot to do with healing, where if you feel a certain way about something and it is personally driven, have you addressed, you know, that reason? Well, I don't like helping people because I've been used so many times, or I don't like sharing my resources because I've shared my resources and put people on, and then they've gone and shown up and have been less than favorable. And now that person doesn't want to take any more of my recommendations. But I think that also is, you know, we talked about power circles and being able to properly identify where people belong and things of that nature, where it's like, okay, I know where I can send you. I know where I can recommend. And, you know, like, this is one of my connections where I can only recommend Doc, Alicia, and DJ because I know their character. Anybody else outside of those, I might not want to, you know, risk that, so to speak. And it's not a bad thing. I think that's also, you know, something that we come, especially in our community, where it's like, if someone knows that you have access or resource to something where they're like, oh, you don't want to put me on. It's not that I don't want to. It's just that I know that you are not prepared to take advantage of this resource or this opportunity in the proper way.
Right. Yeah, might fumble it.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to fumble this opportunity, and it could potentially mess up a lot of futures. And everybody has to be willing to accept that. More specifically, the person who has the access, like, look, man, I gotta tell you no right now. A lot of, you know, whole nother conversation we can have for another day. Temporary no's, we gotta recognize them.
Yeah.
A lot of the times we get a no, it's just like, hey, not right now. It's not the right time. Your idea, we gotta, let's bring it up. And it brings me to a point, another reference to the movie Rustin. Like I said, it's a lot of different organizations that were collaborating and working together. And there came to a point where they were planning out the march, and there's a lot of logistics. Alicia, you know, with event planning, the logistics behind events is crazy. Especially when, you know, you don't, either you can rely on one source to do a lot of stuff, or you can rely on many sources to do a lot of things. And either way it goes, it's still a lot. Did all of the stuff come in? Did all the tablecloths get washed? Did all the tables show up? Did all the chairs show up? Are all the cars there? Is everybody have their rooms? All of these different things. As a travel agent, I recently experienced it for the first time with Cape Town, and I think I talked about it a little bit with DJ in our recap. But there was a part in the march planning to where the person who was responsible for figuring out the food for all of the march, they was like, we got, you know, these churches have collaborated and come together and signed a board to make however many thousands of ham and cheese sandwiches. And Bayard said, no, peanut butter and jelly. And he was like dead set on it. And he was like, no, peanut butter and jelly. But then he explained, he was like, we talking about being in Washington, D.C. in the middle of summer. Cheese and ham is going to boil being stored. He was like, peanut butter and jelly is peanut butter and jelly. It's going to last, and it's portable, it's like, it's perfect. And everybody was like, oh, but that is a prime example of the power of collaboration, to where if the single person who's dead set on ham and cheese, because I mean, if you're given a choice between ham and cheese and peanut butter jelly, most people probably would pick ham and cheese, unless you don't eat pork and, you know, and all of that. But like, okay, I can get meat and cheese or jelly mm-hmm. and peanut butter, I'm gonna take that. But if we're talking about what's the best decision, the best overhead, and all of these other factors that come into play with logistics, collaborating brought that in, where it's like, no, I think we should go with this, and here's why. That was, to me, was an effective example of effective communication. And then also emotional collaboration, because a lot of times when you're collaborating with multiple people, there's the passion involved, where it's like, you're so, especially when it's yours, it's like, well, I'm dead set on the color red. For what, you know, just, you know, I gotta have a color red. But then somebody's like, hey, but the font's not gonna show up properly on red when you print it out. And because you're so passionate about that choice, you overlook things like that, and somebody's outside perspective comes in and makes sense of it. It's like, hey, and it's no knock to your choice. And then maybe later on you can collaborate and come up with a way to use, you know, the color red or whatever for that example. But I definitely wanted to point out, you know, that in terms of being able to really and truly be vulnerable enough to share, because unless we share, there is no collaboration. Because you can't just say, I can't come to y'all and say, hey, Doc, hey, DJ, hey, Alicia, I want to open a credit union. And I just want y'all to open up your networks to me. And when I ask for something, just give it here. And y'all say, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't shared any details with you. I've just told you, you know, it's not even step one. It's just like, here's an epiphany.
You know, there's one thing that, and there's a thing that bothers me that I see on social media all the time, right? And I understand this. People want general well wishes and prayers, but a lot of times you'll see somebody post, pray for me. I can't explain what it is. I don't want to talk about it, but just pray for me, you know? And the energy and prayer and action and all of these things are very directional, right? Praying for what? Are we praying for healing? Are we praying for deliverance? Are we and I'm just saying, this is as simple as setting your guide as to where it is that you want to go to be able to throw your energy towards somebody in a positive way. You need to have enough information to be able to effectively do it. People need enough information to be able to effectively help you, right? You got to be realistic enough with yourself, both in your own abilities and limitations, to recognize how valuable other people can be. And I think you also have to recognize that within your limitations, we are all limited to our own individual perspective. We can think as broadly as we absolutely try to, but we can't run outside of the border of our own minds, right? The value that comes with collaboration comes in someone else's mind. And other people's experiences, networks, communities, and levels of communication that can help make the idea better, right? That can help increase the odds of any idea as it is being either funded or being granted exposure. All of these things are things that are positive, but you can't unlock any of these types of things by yourself, right? And so there's a thing, you know, people will often talk about, hey, if you have something that's important to you and you're around people who are dream killers, hold that dream close to you. You don't even have to tell anybody about it, but work towards it. I would go beyond that to say, sure, do some of those things, but do not limit yourself to people who are going to keep you down or don't want to help you move forward. You have a bigger problem than that individual one that's right there in front of your face. And that's that your entire circle within it, there's nobody that you can trust to say, hey, I have something that I want to make better. Can you help me make it better? And you don't have the confidence. You can't walk in there with the confidence that they're not going to try to kill your dream, right? That right there is important, right? So you have to have, If you feel like the group that you are within is nothing but dream killers, you need to get out, you need to start networking more, you need to use social media, look for what it is that you actually want to accomplish, look for some groups that are actually cultivating it within that space, and start talking to them. So that way you can have the right group of collaborators to actually make progress with.
I think we also, you bring up a great point to where we, you know, definitely ranking number three is the community-oriented collaborations, which is a style that focuses on creating a sense of community and shared purpose. Now, I always say it's within a workplace, but, you know, we talk about life and business unfiltered here at the Brethren Podcast. But it involves building a positive and supportive team culture where members collaborate based on shared values and a sense of belonging. It enhances employee engagement, teamwork, and overall well-being. And I think, we talk about power circles, and we've talked about it multiple times, to where that is really what you're embracing. I think we also have to do a better job, ultimately, as a community, to where we embrace, allow, whatever word you want to use, people to move in multiple circles, right? To where it's, oh, you think that you're better than me because you are now moving in a circle of education and higher education, and I didn't get into that circle. No, I'm just moving in a different circle to now I can bring knowledge back from this circle to this circle, and now we can make this circle better. And that's ultimately what everybody's goal or sense of purpose should be within that circle, is to enhance the circle. Otherwise, if you're there and you're not enhancing it, you yourself are a leech. And that's something you might need to address amongst yourself, is, are you a leech of the community or the circle itself? Are you a leech within collaboration? Are you a leech within partnerships? And if you are, there's a lot of work outside, you know, that this conversation is not for you, to where you've got to address that. But I think we've got to do a better job as a community to embrace people that are moving in multiple circles. Yeah, you and DJ are in rooms. Y'all are in rooms that I'm not in, and I, I have to be okay with that. But I also am okay, and ultimately okay with, when y'all come out of those rooms, y'all are sharing what's going on in those rooms with me, and now I am getting an insight and knowledge sharing and information and resources from these rooms that I'm not able to get to. And it has nothing to do with me. It's just, and a lot of times that's not my industry. So I'm not supposed to be in that room. If I'm in that room, if I'm physically actually there, I'm in that room and I'm just like, I don't know what the hell these people are talking about.
But you know what? It's the same thing with what you do in your room, right? The reason I immediately came to you when I said, hey, I'm going to need somebody to work with me on this Phenomatic app, right, is that I don't have the technological background and skill set like you do, right? My skill set is in the content creation related to folks doing financial planning and couples working together to do it. Great. So now I take your skill set and my skill set and all of the money that I put together to make, you know, to put into the thing. But now we have something that we can both win off of, right? It's something that we can both use to get ahead. But you have to be able to recognize a couple things. Number one, that you yourself don't have all the answers to everything, right? And whether it's school or whatever thing that you got that gives you, you know, some level of the edge in terms of your own industry, it does absolutely nothing for you when you have a big enough idea where it crosses into another industry, right? So now you have to get that level of expertise from somewhere. And it sure is great when you have a network of people that you can trust, that you all help one another, that you can find someone like an AJ to lean on to help walk you through those difficult, dark paths that you don't understand what's going on, right? Until there can be a bit of illumination for both of you. But there's growth on both sides for both of us by virtue of us affiliating together. Now we both are learning to do something a little bit new. And so there's new opportunities for individual and personal growth. There is the opportunity for the growth of each individual's ideas. There's the opportunity for community growth, right? And there's opportunity for the type of growth that intertwines all of these different things that lifts all boats if you're within one of those communities that would benefit from collaboration and folks working together. And you tend to hear stuff all the time about how come we don't work together like the other blah, blah, blah groups, right? So when you have, you know, 1/10 the wealth of the average white family, and you have within, especially among African-American communities, lower levels of income, right, than some of the other broader white community, you can't afford to not reach out to the other people who have resources around you, because the other, you know, folks who are in other groups are going to be in a position where not only are they reaching out to people who probably in many cases have a little bit more experience and a little bit more wealth and resources to make it happen, right? They also, you know, are willing to use it a lot more freely because they trust one another and they're not thinking that, oh, inherently based on race, you're going to be a bad business person or take advantage of me, which sometimes we as Black people think about one another. I would encourage all Black folks who have a mind for business or anything that they want to accomplish that's large is to, you know, look for somebody besides them that has done something similar to potentially mentor them. And then someone who is wanting to do something in that vein and think about how you might be able to partner with or just knowledge share with them. And then, and this is an extremely important part, think about who it is that you want to bring along to replace yourself as you move forward through your overall process. So collaboration, at least as I look at it, in terms of liberation and in terms of Black freedom and financial power, is absolutely necessary.
Yes. And that brings me to the fourth and final one in terms of ranking. Number one would be communication-oriented collaboration, then network-oriented collaboration, community-oriented collaboration, and then the final one would be task-oriented collaboration, because now that everybody's on the same page, the networks and the Black books have been opened, communication is established and it's effective, everybody is aligned and ready to collaborate, and the communal element is there. You just now collaborate and you revolve around achieving a specific task, goal, or project. And not to put anybody on the spot, but Destrian and Alicia have both been open and vulnerable about, you know, their current status and journey in terms of being rehired. But the power of collaborating within that journey, I don't know who's available right now, if either of them are available right now, but if they could speak to the power of collaborating on this journey of you know, getting to the other side.
You know, I'll say this in terms of journeys in general, man, it is it's tough when you feel like you gotta go it alone, right? It is tough when you feel like you gotta go it alone. And I think most of the time when you feel like you gotta go it alone, you're probably wrong. You probably don't. That's the deal, is that you're probably wrong. You're probably being too secretive. You're probably not talking to folks who actually not just only could, but want to help you. They're probably waiting on an opportunity to help you because you probably are one of those people that's proud and maybe done a couple of things and they wonder, man, I wonder if I could somehow be helpful in something like that, but they're not going to come in and kick the door in.
They go back to your other point you made earlier, was like, supposed to be like, hey, pray for me. And it's like you said, that's energy. You got to tell me what I'm praying for. If you really want me to truly and effectively, you know, push my resources towards that prayer, I can give you a general.
One of the biggest resources that the good Lord has given us, and here's a little trick about the whole, when two or more gather together in prayer, right? What do they say about faith without works? Faith without works is dead, right? Now, when you pray and you are specific about what it is that you are dealing with, what it is that you want, you got two on one accord. Now, if it was just about the praying and wishing and hoping and singing and praying, that would be one thing. But God calls us to work. You see what I'm saying? Right. So now what you got when you have somebody that fervently prayed with you about it, now you got a part. Right now you got somebody in it who understands what it is that you're going through. They may not understand it on the same level. They may not be able to give you absolutely everything that you need in order to get the job done, but I guarantee to you this, there is something within this person that you ain't got, right? Even if it's just the additional energy coming off somebody else saying, you know what, you can do it. I saw this book. Let me send this to you. These little bits of support, even if they can't all the way engage, right? They're thinking about you, and then you never know who they don't even know they might know and might mention something or say something to somebody or someone say something to them. And now you end up in a place where you get connected to something that you wouldn't even reach out for before because you didn't know how you could. But now you got what they call a blessing that's come from somewhere else. I can't explain it. You know, pressed down, shaking together, running over. We supply that to one another. God ain't just put him in, throw blessings out the back of planes like bags of rice in some, you know, somebody's war-torn land, right? He gives us one another to effectuate the blessings that he's bringing into our lives. So that's all I got to say about that.
Go ahead, Alicia.
You better preach now, okay? So listen, you know, as you mentioned, I'm on this journey to reemployment or bigger opportunities, whatever it is that God is going to bless me with. In the meantime, as Doc said, faith without works is dead, right? So I'm trying to do the work, and in the work is collaboration. And I apologize if it sounds like I'm yelling because I'm in the hydro massage area, but you know, I have no issue, and it took me a long time to get there, but I have no issues asking people for help or telling people what it is that I need, because at the end of the day, closed mouths don't get fed, right? How can you help me if I'm not communicating what it is that I need help with? I'll never forget, when I was at IBM, our chief marketing officer, corporate chief marketing officer, was in our office, and maybe a week or so prior to that, I was informed that the project I was working on had run out of funding, right? So in essence, I needed to find a new job. Well, they weren't firing me. They're just saying, you need to find a new team to get on. I pulled that lady to the side, yes, the chief marketing officer, and told her, hey, I need a job. I provided her with my elevator pitch. You know, at that time, I think I had been at IBM for 10 years. I've done this, participated in this, da 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 da. She was like, oh, you're doing all the right things. Now, the conversation didn't end in a job, but I landed a job after that. I don't know if she spoke to somebody on my behalf or if the universe just, mm-hmm. you know, worked in my favor, but mm-hmm. I was able to articulate to that lady, you know, what it was that I needed. And from that point on, I'm like, listen, if I could talk to the chief marketing officer, I could talk to mm-hmm. anybody, you know? Yeah. And some advice that I got early on in my career is that, like, don't be afraid to talk to people, especially executives, right? You know, coming in as a college graduate, you'd be a little bit intimidated or whatever. And somebody told me, look, they put their pants on one pant leg at a time, just like you, right? We all human at the end of the day. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid to ask people for what it is that you want. And I kind of carried that on in my career. So, you know, now that I'm job searching again, I will jump in people's inbox on LinkedIn. There was a gentleman that works at Rivian who graduated from Tuskegee. I do not know him from a can of paint, but you know what bonded us? Tuskegee. And I knew that he would not turn me away just off the strength of the Tuskegee family. And I was correct. He was like, oh, yeah, for sure. Let's jump on a Zoom call. Give me your email, you know, and he chatted with me for like an hour. And at the end of the conversation, he said, look, I knew you were sharp because you went to Tuskegee. He said, but I just wanted to chop it up with you. I'm going to refer you for the job. And that's ultimately what you need, right? Out here is referrals to get in front of people. Now, it hasn't come to fruition yet, but just my application hopefully went to the top of the pile when they do decide that they're going to start hiring again. So, listen, you can't be afraid. Closed mouths don't get fed. You never know who can help you, who's connected to somebody else. And I graciously return the favor. I'm always open to, you know, opening my network to somebody else. And one quick thing, too. Destrian called and did a wellness check on me about 2 weeks ago. And I so appreciate it. I told him that, but I want to just say that publicly and here. You know, he just, hey, sis, I just want to check on you, see how you doing. I know it's hard out here. What do you need? What can I help you with? That is so powerful. And in that conversation, we collaborated. Conversation had been over an hour. We collaborated. You know, he knew some people or a guy that worked at one of the organizations that I had been looking at. you know, and he gonna have a conversation with them and give me a, you know, a recommendation. Again, that's but that. He wouldn't have known that if we'd have had that conversation.
Exactly. That's yeah. that vulnerability and that's that emotional collaboration. You know, that emotional collaboration ultimately turned into multiple forms of the collaboration, but it's just, hey, I'm collaborating with you on this journey emotionally because it is, you know, it's something to bear. Trying to figure out, but it's something to bear. Go ahead.
No, and when you bring that up, man, that emotional collaboration, even though it's not listed among those things, because it's mm-hmm. not what it is that people do typically in the business setting,
mm-hmm.
but we need to do that for one another, because mm-hmm. the fact is that emotional isolation, that feeling of it's just me going through this, this is my misery, this is my crap, nobody can help me, you know, you start doing that cyclical down the drain type thinking, and very, very bad things can happen. So yeah, we check on each other. You know, Destrian is gonna call me anytime he think about me. I lost a big client, right? And a decent percentage of my income that comes in from that is a traumatic experience. And because of our knowledge of one another, right, we recognize each other's trauma, right? That collaboration between the two of us, and really all four of us in a lot of ways, is likely to lead to a lot of positivity, productivity, and growth, but also us checking on one another. When we're in the down times, look, folks, this is 3 out of 4 brethren teaching you how to be successful. All admit right now is a down time for us. Mark this moment. Remember it. Write it down. Because it ain't going to last forever.
A lot of encouragement.
When you're thinking about where it is that we've gone after that, trust is going to be based on a lot of that support and a lot of that sharing and a lot of that emotional connectivity that we have facilitated with one another to get through the ups and downs of all these different things that we're trying to do, and none of them are easy.
A lot of your encouragement is going to come from collaboration too. Just pure encouragement is going to come from that collaboration, and it's part of the emotional collaboration where it's, you know, with Destry and Alicia on very similar journeys at the same time, them sharing it ultimately opens up the collaboration, like we said, where, you know, Destrian just reached out like, hey, are you good? And to be able to be open to that is leaps and bounds in itself. But for, you know, for the Bible readers, I don't want to preach like Doc, but it's a sermon a couple of Sundays ago. Just look up the story of Jehoshaphat. And him trying to build the ships to go to Tarshish, because this will bring up my last point. Understanding and recognizing when collaborations have gone wrong or will go wrong. Like we say, I kind of alluded to where it was like, okay, there's certain people where I'm going to tell you no right now. But, you know, to summarize, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he made an alliance with Ahaziah, who was the king of Israel at the time, who acted wickedly. And so God obviously did not approve of this collaboration, this partnership. So it was doomed from the beginning. And they had put all of this money and effort into building these ships to go to Tarshish to get gold and other things. And in the harbor where the ships were built, they were all destroyed. Now, faith without works is dead. We know that. But also, a collaboration that is brought up under false pretenses and not under the right conditions, you didn't tell that person no when you should have. You brought that person in to collaborate and to partner when their goals were not aligned. Their morals, their values were not aligned, but they had the money. Collaboration, you can't collaborate with everybody. As much as we are talking about the positivity of collaborating and partnering, you have to be fervent, and you have to be deliberate about who you collaborate with and what you collaborate with them on. If I'm collaborating with the plumber, I'm telling the plumber, don't you touch nothing other than the pipes. don't touch my roof, don't touch my driveway, don't touch my lawn, because I'm coming to you to collaborate on the plumbing. If you are my electrician, I'm collaborating with you on electricity, because don't touch nothing else because your expertise is here. But I think that also lends to the conversation of every collaboration ain't supposed to happen. You yeah. got that partner that got the connections in the music industry or the entertainment industry or the financial industry, and you want to collaborate because you want in, but that might not be the collaboration for you because ultimately the values don't align. And that takes us back to the collaboration of community-oriented collaboration, where it is there to enhance well-being and the shared purpose. If we ain't on the same page with that, and that's one of the beauties of this collaboration, the Brethren, to where I know I am confident in the fact that our purpose and our values and our morals are pretty much in line. We don't agree on every single thing, but when the perspective of Doc comes in, when Alicia's perspective, when Destrian's perspective comes in, as long as it's values from my point of view, and it always is, it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with any collaboration, with any partnership, the value that you place on the collaboration in itself, you shouldn't put them there if you don't value their opinions, their values, their morals and all of that. But go ahead, Doc.
No, what I was going to say is that I think a lot of times people do look for shortcuts, and it's difficult because, yeah, there's a level of increased productivity and potentially increased likelihood of your idea coming to fruition when you're working with others, right? But when you already know some things about the character of the people that you are considering collaborating with, and this is an important part, when you make the decision that I'm going to ignore the fact that this person behaves in an unscrupulous manner, or this person is untrustworthy, this person steals, this any major character flaws, and you say, because of the fact that they have money or this connection, I'm going to overlook these major character issues in order to take a shortcut to my goal based on collaboration with them, recognize that you are creating potential exposure in the same way that Jehoshaphat did, right? You got to be careful about who you collaborate with. Yes, you have to be careful to recognize the power and collaboration to use those resources, but don't think you can collaborate with, you know, John Gotti and walk away clean. That's not how it works. He was the Teflon Don. All that be stuck on your black behind. Y'all, we cast iron, right? So, I promise you, like, think about those things before you think that you can use collaboration to become nickel slick. So,
most definitely. As always, thank you all so much. We rushed into this episode, but ultimately I'm quite pleased at the way the conversation fleshed itself out. And, you know, I don't doubt our power of collaboration when it comes to doing this here. And as usual, we've created a wonderful loaf of bread for everybody to partake in. And some people get crumbs from it because you got to take it piece by piece. I know Destrian is out being a devoted father, getting his sons from school and getting them settled in the house. So I don't think that he's available now because his camera is still off. Miss Brandon is still being held accountable at the gym, so I'm not sure if she's available to give any closing thoughts. But Doc, what go ahead and give your closing thoughts on the topic of collaboration.
I was thinking that, you know, we've as a group, I think, summed it up well, right? You've got your different forms of collaboration, from communication to community and network and all of those elements, right? But you also have the the downsides associated with it, right? Or potential downside. And that's with anything. Anything that you have that has an outcome that you don't know in a predetermined way, well, there's risk associated with that, right? And so you have to think about ways in which you can limit risk. And one of the ways in which we do it in finance is through diversification. Different ideas and those things can be helpful, right? So that can help you limit risk. And the other thing that you can do on the other side to limit risk is vetting, right? So for those individuals who are unscrupulous, those aren't the individuals you want to be collaborating with. You need a level of trustworthiness so that you can feel comfortable sharing in a way that is likely to yield the growth that's supposed to yield. You need that trust there. And if you already are not looking at that person and like, I can't trust this individual at all, that's where your vetting should take over to keep you from doing it, because now collaboration with that person to try to get a shortcut or anything like that, it's likely to, you know, you end up cutting yourself short and putting yourself in a bad position. So be mindful that collaboration is important. Be mindful of how you can collaborate to get ahead, but also be mindful of the fact that with whom you collaborate matters, and that you do have to be selectful to a certain degree to make sure that you don't jeopardize things for yourself or for the other people who could and will benefit from all the great ideas that you are bringing to bear.
Most definitely. I said it before, I said it again, thank you all for joining me on this journey here. But we've covered this topic before. We've mentioned it multiple times. And like I said, it's one of the very early episodes of Power Circles and Strategic Partnerships, to where, you know, we talked about, you know, high level of this. And now I think we've come back with an episode focused solely on collaboration and collaborative partnerships, and that on that realm, to where we've been able to give you the tangibles, as we like to call it. You know, you got your communication-oriented collaboration, network-oriented collaboration, task-oriented collaboration, and community-oriented collaboration, and breaking it down into categories that are palatable, so to speak, to where everybody can break it down. But like Doc said, and like we've all said, there has to be a vulnerability in terms of sharing and communicating to get collaboration started. That's why we put communication-oriented collaboration as the foundation. We've always consistently pushed and promoted the effectiveness and the caliber of how paramount collaboration is. It's what separates us from animals, but it's also the same thing, because animals have their own way of communicating. But if we cannot effectively communicate with each other, all is lost. And that ultimately is why a lot of dreams, ideas, tasks, goals, they fall by the wayside, because there is no communication. It is solely held within self, to where this is my idea, this is my baby, I don't want anybody else to touch it. But if we even think about an actual life, bringing a life into this world, it has been done, but ultimately it has never been done solely on one's own. Never. I don't care what, I don't care. You cannot convince me that someone has brought life into this world and nurtured life 100% on their own. At some point, you will take that child to daycare or a babysitter. You will have a doctor in some cases, or a midwife help deliver. In some cases, you have a doula. It is never done by yourself. Even when we break it down to pure transaction, I am buying a service or a product from you, we are collaborating, because we both have to agree to do that transaction. We think of transactions and we discount transactions often as this singular thing with, oh, we're only doing this as a transaction. No, it is a form of collaborating, because as the buyer and as the seller, we are agreeing to a partnership. Temporary as it may be, it is still a partnership. It is still a form of collaboration, because we are sharing resources. I got the money, you got the product or the service, vice versa. So I think in terms of that, We have done an amazing job of, you know, laying out the tangibles, but ultimately the message that I would hope that everyone takes away is to be vulnerable. That's it. Be vulnerable. It's a time and place to where we should be more vulnerable amongst ourselves to help get goals accomplished. One of my good friends said, "Nigga stands for never ignorant getting goals accomplished," and that only is achieved by collaboration. A lot of times it's going to be hard to share and to communicate what you actually need because you are afraid. For whatever reason you're afraid, address that as such. But also there are ways to address that legally if that need be. And then also, you know, we've talked about effective communication before. If my friends come to me with an NDA, I'm not going to feel a type of way. I'm going to feel even more blessed and even more privileged that they're sharing something with me that is of the levity that it requires a legal document. That's how I look at it, though. I'm not you. If Doc comes to me and say, "Hey, man, I got an idea, but I need you to sign this small contract that says you're not going to tell nobody about it," I'm like, "Hoo-hoo-hoo, this got to be good, and I can't wait to be a part of it." We got to start reframing things and reframing the way that we look at things. And ultimately, we have done an amazing job at laying out a blueprint for everyone to change and shift their way of thinking about community, collaborating, power circle, strategic partnerships, doing business and life and intermingling those things, because all of us here do business together and we also do personal together. And I'm glad that I don't care. You ain't got to agree with me. We're a shining example of it. And I constantly boast about this group right here and our extended networks that are. I constantly boast about it because we are a stereotype dismisser. People say that we can't work together, and I say, you are highly mistaken, because I've got a group of elite, high-caliber people that we are moving, and we don't have to be moving on grand things. We ain't got to be building a billion-dollar development in the Middle East and all of that. We don't need all of that. It's just we are communicating, collaborating on a consistent basis to get through life together. And when projects and tasks and goals arise within our individual lives, we collectively help each other get past, get over, get through, and get by. And that is what will ultimately grow our community as a whole. And I'm glad that my fellow brethren have joined on this journey to make that a reality. So with that being said, make sure you follow us on all our social media at The Brethren Pod. That's BREADREN, spelled like bread, because we always getting bread and we always sharing bread. HBCUPets.com, get you some. Even if you ain't got no pet, you know somebody with one. Right now we're catering to cats and dogs, but we might have some chameleon onesies coming soon. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Dr. Ajamu Loving on Money and You. Check him out. If you got any kind of speaking engagements, you want somebody to talk that finance talk, people are more important than things. I am the first person to say it on this episode. Congratulations to me. Holler at Dr. Ajamu Loving at Dr. Ajamu Loving on Instagram and Loving on Money and You on Facebook. And Mr. D. Wells, Deshaun Wells of D. Wells Consulting. Finance talk once again. We're going to teach you about money and life and business here, because that's what we good at and we know it. And we are unabashed about our passion and our purpose, which is helping everybody do better and helping each other do better. Ultimately, we're collaborating here. Won't you join us? Thank you for joining another episode of the Brethren Podcast. We love you and ain't nothing you can do about it. Peace.